Well, I have some good news and some bad news, Rider Nation. Belton, do you want the good news first or the bad news first?
Let's get the... I want the bad news first.
Well, the bad news is they lost to the Calgary Stampeders 32-15.
Badly lost.
What's the good news?
They don't have to play them until the playoffs. That's the good news. They're done for the regular season against the Calgary Stampeders.
They're still in first place.
Still put 16-2 on the board. They are 8-0 against everybody not named Calgary. But it was another beatdown by the Stampeders as they, I believe, shut out the Riders in the second half of that football game. The Riders had a 15-14 lead at the halftime. They played a great 8 minutes at the end of the second quarter. The other 52 minutes wasn't even close. The Calgary Stampeders flexed again on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Trevor Harris got beat up. Everybody got beat up by the Rough Riders. Injuries all over the place, it appeared. Nelson Lacombo went down. A.J. Ouellette looks banged up, he didn't finish the game. Dre McCray didn't finish the game. Trevor Harris went under the medical tent, probably should have been pulled from the game after he looked a little
wobbly
after one of those hits. But, you know, the concussion spotter in the CFL must have been getting popcorn when that happened.
Yeah. He was wobbly, man. Was that the camera operator shaking the camera? No, that was Trevor Harris wobbling after he tried to get up.
Yeah. He got absolutely smoked on a three-man rush by Peterson.
No way he should have been back in the game after that. No, he came in for one more series.
And then he got hit again, and it looked like he was a bit...
looking at his leg or something.
Like, what's wrong? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's your brain. That's why your legs seem weird right now. Yep. 32-15. Oh, yeah, and Brett Lawther missed a 28-yard field goal again.
Well, it didn't cost him a game.
Set the tone at the start.
Yes, he does. What Belton thinks of as a play of the game, Jamie, because he figured that was bad karma right from there on, right?
Well, was it Keyshawn Johnson, the play before that, had the ball go through his hands for a touchdown?
Drop balls.
Yes. Drop ball right there.
Yep.
That was another moment for this football game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yep. Things just didn't go their way. They just got beaten up
again. Can the Stampeders, if they stood up tonight to the media and said, we're the best team in the Canadian Football League, are they right?
Well, they're certainly the best team in the West. They're 5-0 against Western teams. They've swept the BC Lions. Swept the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in three games. And they've swept the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in two. So they're 5-0 against Western teams. The only losses are against Eastern teams. So are they the best? Maybe, because the Rough Riders had that badge going into this game, and we thought this is going to be the game of the year. What a great game coming up, and the Rough Riders weren't there.
But when Vernon Adams plays, what are they?
They're 7-1.
I thought
7-1.
8-1, 7-1 now. Okay, all right.
When Vernon Adams starts and finishes, they're 7-1. When Trevor Harris starts, and I'm going to count this as finished because they just put Jake Maher in garbage time. Yep. They're, of course, 7-2 because Maher won that one game with Harris out under concussion protocol earlier this season.
How about that defense, though? Calgary rebuilt its entire defense, and basically there are 12 new starters on the Stampeders defense.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yeah. And they seem to know what they're doing.
Well, I'm wondering, too, if the coaches know what they're doing, right? You know, with Coach Dickerson there with the Stamps, it just looked like they had the Riders' number, you know, especially in the second half. They just shut everything down.
Yeah,
like, is he familiar with Mueller?
That's what we were talking about. Maybe Dave Dickerson, as the Stampeders head coach, is familiar with Mark Mueller, who is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offensive coordinator. And he knows Corey Mace, the defensive coordinator for the Rough Riders, who's also the head coach. So maybe Dave Dickerson is just totally uber prepared for this team on offense and on defense because they seem to know what the Rough Riders were doing offensively and defensively.
And they came back. Well, they just had the bye, right? So they're coming back fresh and everything. And
what if they put pads on?
Sorry. I don't know.
Was snarky.
It didn't work for the Riders this go
round. Didn't this time, though.
So here we are. Once again, after a big hyped game like it was at Mosaic Stadium Week 6, the Riders and the Stampeders, this should be a classic, and the Stampeders, for the second straight time, mopped the floor with them. 32 15, the final. The Stampeders improved to 7-3. The Rough Riders fall to 8-2. They are still one game up on the Calgary Stampeders for first place in the West, but the Stamps own the tiebreaker. They're really one game away from taking the lead for the CFL West. You can count it as a half game up on the Calgary Stampeders right now for the Riders. Okay. 1-877-332-8255. That is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. All lines are jammed right now, so if you're getting the busy signal, wait just a little bit and hit redial when we say goodnight to one of the callers, and we'll get through it. You got us for 2 hours here on the Green Zone postgame show. Dallas, I'm gonna start with something, Dallas.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I'm surprised you called with only like a minute left. I thought you would have been on hold since about, I think, the 10-minute mark of the first quarter when Brett Lawther missed a 28-yard field goal.
Well, did you see what I did, Jamie? Maybe you didn't catch it. I created an X account just for you.
I didn't see that.
I created an X account just for you, Jamie, even though I got no profile, no name, a bunch of people are going to view. I created it just for you, Jamie. Just so I could complain about that. But let's start with a couple of things here, okay? When we talk about contendership here, again, I'm not taking anything away from this team, but Jamie, this is what I mean. We are not, when I say Grey Cup contenders, that means we make it to the Grey Cup game. We're not going to make it to the Grey Cup if Calgary, if we do either host the West Final or the West Semi, Calgary is going to beat us. Mark Mueller did absolutely nothing, regardless if Dave Dickinson was prepared for Mark Mueller or not. This is what I mean. We're not contenders. We're a good team, but we're not contenders when Mark Mueller does nothing and allows Calgary to read us like a children's book. Like that was terrible. So this is what I mean. Until we can fix these things, this is one of the tests. Hamilton we were able to school them. Calgary schooled us again. So now back to back, we need to go back to back winning against Winnipeg. Otherwise, we're done. Not in terms of we're done for the season, but again, then I wouldn't even be talking about we're Grey Cup contenders. We're not going to make it to the Grey Cup game if we can't beat Winnipeg, especially with this performance. We can't do it. The other thing is, my thoughts are going out to Trevor Harris because he definitely was wobbly. That was terrible, and he should have been pulled sooner just to live to fight another day. So I'm hoping he's okay. But I don't want to hear. Well, actually, I kind of do because I want to see the ridiculousness of people. But I want to take people back 4 years. The year 2021 is the only time Brett Lawther, I think, was 90%. So anybody, I want to hear anybody, including Justin Dunk, try to defend Brett Lawther. This is 4 years. I don't want to hear anybody nobody can defend Brett Lawther. Okay, he's a great guy, but in terms of, there's no way he can be back next week. There is absolutely no. Get rid of him, and if anybody defends him, they do not know professional sports and professional football. This is ridiculous. I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of talking about it. 4 years, this guy sucks, and he can't even make two consecutive 28-yarders. Get rid of the guy. If you like him so much, then tell you what. Let him start serving popcorn in the stands and signing autographs for kids. Other than that, the guy is useless to this team, and I'm done talking about him. Move on. Time for a new guy. Thanks. Starting the post-game show off. Have a good show, you guys.
I'm just curious which Twitter account it was that tweeted me.
Can't they cut Ben Lawther now and save his salary?
Well, because of his vet status, I thought it was game 9, right?
I thought it was game 8.
I always thought game 9.
I was always Labor Day. We're going to have to check that one.
No, but it used to be Labor Day, but they moved the season up so much. I believe the CBA, they moved to the vet guarantee or whatever it is to week 8 or 9, and they're long past that.
Okay, well, yeah.
So they have to pay his salary already, so. So they wait. They blew that move by waiting too long to make the change because they're going to have to pay his salary.
Regardless, right?
But my thought was they should have moved him. If they brought in a kicker, they should have moved out Brett Lawther already. They just keep him dangling, and now it costs them 3 points or 2 points, I guess. But now it's cost them in confidence too, and it's not the reason they lost. Of course not. But when you need a kicker now, if you're in a 22-22 ball game, are you going to be able to count on him? And I don't think they can.
Well, and the thing is, too, right, when he lined up the kick, I think we all were just sitting there like, man, you know, and just imagine the fans, what the fans are doing. They're probably thinking the same.
What are his teammates thinking?
And the teammates are thinking the same, too. Yeah. That's not good, man. Yeah.
And what's he thinking? Right? He's worried.
He did kick the laces on that field goal, though.
Yes, he did. But even from 28 yards, man. What did Jamie say when he lined up? Who misses from 28 yards in the CFL?
I was being sarcastic.
I know you were. He missed by that long last game, too, right? So two in a row, missing short yardage field goals.
I think Maltos Diaz did miss. He hit the upright from 24 this week, too, or last week in the Canadian Football League. But it's very rare you see pro kickers miss from that distance.
What about the offense? Dallas was talking about no changes to the offense. To me, there was some diversity.
Well, let's start up front first, right? The O-line, they didn't play their best game today. They gave up, four sacks was the last time I saw, right?
Saskatchewan had zero sacks and Calgary had four.
So they did something defensively to confuse the guys, because remember there was one – Oh,
he ran.
That's
right.
Where Trevor Harris got his clock.
Peterson ran right between Bramer and Hardwick. And they looked at each other. That was your guy.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're not on the same page. Receivers dropping balls. Yeah. We could go there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Meyer, he fumbled there at the end. So it just today wasn't an offensive day for the Riders at all.
True.
And they got beat up front, the trenches.
Yep.
How many sacks did the Ryder D line get?
Zero.
Zero.
No
sacks.
You win the game up front, fellas.
And the secondary was in shambles. The injury didn't help, and they were all a mess back there. I know there were a couple of interceptions, but that wasn't the secondary. Well, it has given up more yards for sure, but it wasn't a game-turning secondary like it has been.
Is Brett Lawther done? Campbell Vare the kicker for Labor Day?
Yeah, they should make that change.
You want me to go on record, Jamie?
Yes.
By Brett.
Yeah.
Jamie, he missed kicks the previous week. They bring somebody in to push him, challenge him.
And
he gets out there today. He misses the first kick, right?
The only kick.
I think that's it, man. Yeah. I do.
That's why you bring a guy in. Right?
Yep.
And you say, here, you can have one more chance, prove it. And if you go 0-for-1, which he did in field goals, he was okay in converts.
And, Jamie, I think I was listening to you earlier this week when they brought the new
Campbell
kicker
in,
and they did a little mock game or something and just put him on the spot for, a 50-yarder?
56.
A who?
56.
Oh, that sounds refreshing right now.
And he hit a 47 or 48. They did two little mini boom, boom, boom down the field. Okay, so they had everybody on the sideline.
And he was cold off the streets, right? Like,
he arrived at 3 a.m.
And he, all right, Jamie.
He's an old draft pick. He's been here before.
And I don't know nothing about kickers. They just like to play games and stuff, right? Like, you know.
They've stopped playing bocce ball, Dalton, to be fair. I remember those days watching practice, and I remember them playing bocce ball with the footballs in the end. They don't do that anymore.
That is burning in my head. That's
they don't do that. Just to let you know, they don't do that anymore.
They hold the chains on the chain gang for scrimmages. Yeah. For Skelly.
All right. Okay, let's go back to the fan line. Caden, what are you thinking tonight with another butt whooping at the hands of the Calgary Stampeders?
Well, I guess let's start it off with the positives, of which there weren't many. Keyshawn Johnson looked good aside from that first drop. Should have definitely had that, but you know what? He came back and he made plays all throughout the game. So, but I guess let's continue on. This team played one quarter of football and it was brutal. They played that second quarter. That was good. We'll give them that. But, you know, you can't show up for one quarter and expect to win a football game. That score, it makes us look better than we played. This team was asleep. There were way too many holes in our secondary. We got dotted up by Philpott and VA. They made us look like an RMF team out there. Like, and then I want to bring up the kicking situation because I have to. You know what? I don't do this very often, but I got to agree with Dallas here. Like, you know what? Brett Lawther should have been gone. You know what? He should have been gone before the season started with the way he's playing. But you know what? Like I said last week, you can't bring in another kicker. It's I feel like that was part of the reason this team lost, because, you know what, it threw off the mojo in the locker room. And I said this would happen. I said this exact situation would happen. We brought in a kicker, and you know what? This team went out and lost the football game. So,
What if they had made the move earlier and just put Fair in instead of Lothar for this one? Do you think that might have made a difference? And they might have said, you know what? This is business. We got to get going.
I mean, if they made the move earlier, you know what? It could have been a completely different story. Heck, who knows? This team could be, what, 10-0? Mm-hmm. Like, Lothar cost us how many points? Like, I don't even want to look at that number, because you know what? It honestly might make me cry. Like, let's be real here. But you know what? I think this team has to come back, and, you know, we got to punch Winnipeg in the mouth, because clearly we can't punch Calgary in the mouth because they're too tall for us, you know? So let's just get through the rest of the season and pray that we don't face Calgary in the playoffs, because if we play Calgary in the playoffs, this team is not making a Grey Cup appearance.
Well, Caden, thanks for the call.
Who's going to knock off Calgary? Because Winnipeg, the team that you would think
they're 3-0.
Is 0-3.
They're 5-0 against the Riders, yeah, and the Bombers or the Calgary Stampeders, yep, this year.
The teams, wow, who they'll most likely to meet in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
I was thinking of picking the Elks against the Stamps for Labor Day. Nope, not anymore. Not after that.
Even the Elks are pretty hot, but Calgary's just a solid football team and well-prepared. Man, that defense, I just can't believe that's from a entirely rebuilt defense. Just was dominant. 25 points they've let the Riders score in two full games. They're the highest scoring team going into Hamilton. The Hamilton game, 32 points per game they were averaging, right? Wow. And now they've scored 15 in the two games against Calgary. Total. Or, I'm sorry, 25, right?
Yeah.
15 and 10. 25.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, regular starters on this defense for the Calgary Stampeders holdover from last year. I believe it's zero.
Yeah.
Like, as regular starters, there were guys like Hicks and Hutchings were on that team. Mm-hmm. Tights as well. But regular contributors, it's pretty well all brand new.
I thought Derek Moncrief was done when he left Saskatchewan. And
no, he looked good.
He's looked pretty good. Yeah. He's got some life left.
1-877-332-8255. That line's open if you want to hit dial right now to get in here on the Green Zone postgame show. Caden, thanks for the call. We'll go to Keith up next. Keith, what are you thinking after another beatdown by the Stampeders?
Just a really depressing evening. Other than like 7 or 8 minutes of football in the second quarter, this was tough to watch. I guess the common theme tonight, gentlemen, is Brett Lothar. So, and I'll admit, I've been one of those fans that I've been solidly in Lothar's camp from the beginning of the season. I like the guy. I know 2021 Western semifinal. Yeah, he kicked the kick in overtime that beat Calgary, and Paradis missed his. But Lothar's exhausted my patience. I think what we saw tonight, gentlemen, was the culmination of this entire season. You look back, the road game that we won in Hamilton, 28-23, Lothar was 2-for-5 that night. The next week's game, we go to Toronto. We're ahead 31-24. Lothar has a chance to salt the game away with a field goal, misses it, gets a single point. Toronto comes down, gets a touchdown, 2-point conversion. Then Mario has the miracle kickoff return. Mm-hmm. So I think we had a bit of a camouflage this entire season where the ugliness of Lothar's kicks were being obscured by Rider victories. And tonight, we were exposed. And I think what really worries me is we are a strong football team, but let's, you know, dial back 21 years ago when Paul McCallum shanks an 18-yarder in overtime against BC and we lose the West Final. When you get to the playoffs, it comes down to a single play or plays. And if that happens to be the kicking game, to me, that's where I'm really worried about the Riders going forward. So give me Campbell Fair, give me Jack Abinchan, give me Dave Ridgway, give me somebody not named Brett Lothar, because this is really terrible. I'll leave you with just three quick points. Jamie, I called last week and I said, let's not go over. So again, I'm confident, yes, now, but getting a little bit worried. It's almost like when you're on an airline and, you know, the pilot says we're going through some turbulence. So put on your oxygen mask right now, because I think next week's game, point number two, next week's game might be the first time in CFL history that an 8-2 team is playing a must-win game. And I'm not simply saying they got to win to make the playoffs, but I think big picture, we need to restore the mojo. And I think we've taken a bit of a hit to the social capital of this team right now. And you look at Winnipeg has owned us for 7 years. And next Sunday's game, to me, a must win because the Riders, again, cannot lay an egg again and then have to go to the Banjo Bowl where we haven't won since 2018. Final point, big picture. 10-8 is good enough to make the playoffs this year in the CFL, so I think we're making the playoffs, yes. Give me a couple more wins and we'll be okay. But let's face it, if we're not playing in Mosaic, I really don't like our chances of going forward and making some noise in the playoffs. That's why, again, I really want us to see the rebound next week. It's that must-win game. And one final point, Belton, I know we're really hurting right now, but this was the start of week zero in NCAA. Belton, can you give me, and I know I will go on a bold prediction that Ole Miss is in the college football playoffs. I know we got to go to Georgia on October 18th, but I'm hurting right now. Rider Nation is hurting. Belton Johnson, a famous Ole Miss alum, can you give me a gosh almighty on the way out?
Hell yeah! Damn right! Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Hey, flim flam, bim bam, Ole Miss by down. Let's go, Jameis! Let's go, Keith!
Are you ready for the college football season?
I'm ready, Jamie. I'm ready. I watched it this morning.
Away you go for the Ole Miss Rebels.
I'm with Keith, man. I think next week, I hate to say
must
it, but
win? No, not a must win.
Well, the only reason I'm thinking, like he said, the morale's down, right? Like that was a gut punch tonight,
was,
man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, again, when I look at the Riders in the past, I've seen losing streaks after games like this, Jamie, and that's why I'm saying they got to stop it right now. Because if they were to, I don't know, if they were to lose next week, they're going to probably lose over in Winnipeg, I'm thinking, right? And I don't know, they just got to get back on track. I don't know. Like, that was a gut punch.
But after the last beat down by the Stamps, they responded.
They did.
Rattled off a bundle of wins, and they turned into the best defense in the Canadian Football League. Mm-hmm. Their pride's hurt, and we've seen this team bounce back when their pride gets hurt this season.
And we're in that middle window, segment, right?
Yeah, they're 2-1 in this middle window that we thought was the important five-game stretch. You know, they smoked Montreal, they smoked Hamilton, they lose to Calgary, but they got back-to-back against Winnipeg. But we knew that this was the part that showed if they were a good team or not. And, 2-1's not bad. Mm-hmm. If they get out of it 4-1, that's a pretty good stretch. But they do have a couple of tough challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, Winnipeg hasn't looked like the Bombers of old, but they're still capable and have shown themselves capable of the past of beating the Rough Riders, so they can certainly do it again.
Now keep the calls coming here on the Green Zone post-game show. What are you thinking as the Riders start the second half of the season with a loss 32-15 to the Calgary Stampeders? The phone lines are jammed. We'll get right back to the fan line here on the Green Zone post-game show next. We'll also head to McMahon Stadium and get the post-game thoughts of the head coach on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone, a post-game show. 32-15, the final. There was 8 minutes in the second quarter left in the second quarter. The Riders outscored the Calgary Stampeders 14-0. Outside of those 8 minutes, it was 32-1 for the Calgary Stampeders. So for 52 minutes, there was no doubt who the better team was. Once again, it was Vernon Adams Jr. and Calgary. We have calls to change the kicker. We have a must win, apparently, against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Labor Day Classic. What do you think of the status of the Riders? 8-2. They're still 8-2 and did not break a Rider record for best start. And they won't. They won't have the bet because that one team went 14-2 the rest of the way. So if they're making Rider history, they're going to have to go 15-2. In that case, we might have to make Sean and Pilot Butte brisket. But Les is in Corning. Les, what are you thinking after this loss?
Well, there's a bunch of adjectives and words I can really think of right now, but I won't say them.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. Complete repeat of the last game we played them. Nothing. And I'll start out and we'll set the scene. Lothar missed field goal, 28 yards. Okay. Off he goes, head down, and everybody, darn, on the sideline. Okay. We scored a touchdown at the end of the first half. Yeah. Okay. Go for 2 points. Go for 2 points. Don't trust Lothar. You for one guaranteed point. You never seen Lothar again. He's gone. He's fired, I think, anyway. He's done. You won't see him the next game. I'm hoping, anyway. Finally. It was a complete train wreck. Trevor Ayers took some awful hits there. Unbelievable. And, Johnson, yeah, he did not bad. Caught a few nice catches. And, there was an interception there by, who was it, Moncrief? I believe a good catch. But nothing came together. And I even set my score at 30-23 for Calgary. So I didn't believe they would win. So, Daryl, it's a good thing you changed your score right before the end of today, because that was pretty cool. And those nachos, oh, yeah. Burrito nachos or something like that. Yeah.
That's right.
Good.
They go with everything.
Even losses, apparently. Yeah. They'll go with that. But Les, thanks for the call. Here's the thing with the kicker. What if Campbell Fair goes out and struggles? Then what do you do?
Bring in somebody else. And you're not as loyal to him, so you can make the move quicker.
Right away.
They're in transition in the kicking department right now, Jamie. So you can't trust the guy you've got, so you may as well try somebody else. That's why I said don't bring in somebody and just put him on the practice roster. Bring in somebody and move on from your veteran.
But did they? Why not have brought somebody in back during training camp to push and everything? Did they not bring?
No,
I didn't think they did, Daryl.
No,
I thought they had.
There's a guy who can do both, right?
Yeah,
Campbell Fair can punt too. By the way,
yeah.
So.
Well, Joe Coach wasn't too terrible.
Joe Coach had a good game tonight. He was averaging over 50.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line as we go to Brian in Saskatoon next. Brian, what do you got for us on this Saturday night?
What Les said as far as the adjectives go, too many crappy things to talk about. We could be on here for an hour, but let's talk about our defense for I'll pick on them. Instead of going to practice next time they go, take them to Belton's kids practice. They can review tackling 101. Okay.
And Belton would make them run hills too.
Oh yes.
Because I played football for the late great Kelly Bowers, and he taught us when tackling. He says if the opportunity presents itself, it doesn't always. But if the opportunity presents itself, you wrap up the guy's legs because then he isn't going anywhere. I see guys trying to tackle around the shoulder pads or on the waist. This is the biggest thing now. If I get a little bit of momentum built up, I'm just going to throw my shoulder into the guy and try to knock him over.
Yeah,
if you knock him over, fine. Then he's down. But guess what? Half the time, you don't knock him over. He bounces back. And then what? You got to tackle him. Try to tackle him again, right? So anyways, that's all I got, guys. That's my rant for the night.
Well, Brian, thanks for the call.
There were a lot of shoulder tackles tonight, wasn't there?
There was.
Yeah, bouncing off, always trying to make the big hit. That's what they're doing and say, oh.
They look like they were Scott Stevens.
Yes, yeah, but they're not.
And then they missed a lot. Couple tackles there as well, right?
Mills bounced off a few guys. He had a pretty fine game, yeah. Edrick Mills are running back, so you can't tackle those guys just by bouncing them off your shoulder pads.
And did we see Lecombo out there?
He got hurt. I swear that it was the first touchdown of the Calgary Stampeders. I thought I saw someone fall into his legs, and I don't think I saw him after that. He was on crutches on the sidelines. Saw him later on in the game. When they were showing Trevor Harris, I think you saw Lecombo on the crutches on that one. Already without Marcus Sales, who was a late scratch. Before kickoff,
went in there, and then Exume ended up playing there.
Yeah.
Ford went to safety. He didn't have a great game, so I think that whole secondary fell apart with the late change. It just wasn't the secondary that we're used to seeing. and the defensive pass rush didn't apply pressure the way it has been the last few games either.
All right. That means we say goodnight to Brian. His line is open at 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone postgame show. Your thoughts on the Riders losing 32-15 to the Calgary Stampeders as we have Chris next. Chris, how are you feeling about this state of the Riders after yet another loss to the Stamps?
I think everyone needs to just chill out a little bit. All these callers, we went from being the best team in the league to all of a sudden, I've heard some comments tonight that we're not even going to make the playoffs, or we're worried about making the playoffs. And Lawther actually needs to go. He didn't lose the game tonight. That was 2 points, basically, that we lost. But that wasn't the end-all, be-all. But, I mean, we didn't expect the Riders going to win every single game this year. So I think everyone needs to calm down. When the Riders lose, everybody is...
Yes.
Then the phone-in show is exciting.
A little bit of hit the panic button, Chris. They're hitting the panic button.
They are. Everybody was earlier this week. We're going to the Grey Cup. Now tonight they lose a game, and I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs. Like, come on, you guys. Jeez.
The voice of reason, Chris yeah. and Willowbunch.
Yes, originally from Cornac.
There you go. Every so often, you need a voice of reason here on the Green Zone postgame show. And it's true. They're 8-2.
Yeah.
We remember 2013, they started at 8-1. Then they lost 4 straight games to go to 8-5. And everybody's hair was on fire and running around. The sky is falling. Darian Durant tweets at a fan and gets fined for it because he dropped an F-bomb on him. And then they won the Grey Cup.
Can go that way here.
Just
yeah. Or it can go the other way.
Just at Trevor Harris. See how he reacts. We'll see what happens. I'm kidding.
I've never seen him on social. Haven't seen him on social for years. Have you?
He's on Instagram.
Oh, is he on the gram? Mm. Okay.
Yes. He's off X. Is he? As most people seem to be abandoning that platform.
Too obscene.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. There's your voice of reason tonight, Chris. What do you think? Riders lose again to the Calgary Stampeders, this time 32-15. Byron, what are you thinking on this Saturday night?
Well, thanks, Jamie. This kicking controversy is taking up way too much time, and we should just shelve it and move on because we have bigger things that we have to talk about here. 8 minutes out of 60, we played a football game. 8 minutes out of 60. Again, that's unthinkable. Elton, you said, win it on the line. Where was it? Like, it was no sacks. Like, come on. Where were our guys? Also, the play calling is really getting very questionable. Like, we get down in the red zone. Everybody knows we're going to give it to Odette. And what do? They key on the Odette. Like, come on. Where's some initiative to show something different on the line?
Yeah. Byron, anything else?
No, I think we just make too much of this frickin' kicking stuff and avoid the obvious. We don't play a full 60 minutes.
Well,
and
tonight they didn't, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean is when you get out there, you got to play the whole game. All right, that's all I got to say.
Well, Byron, thanks for the call tonight here on the Green Zone postgame show.
Sluggish start and a worse finish. That second half, shut out the entire second half. Amazing, hey?
It was. And, yeah, we know football's a 60-minute game. And I think that was the greatest, 8 minutes there in the second quarter.
Yeah. We thought they had all the momentum. We thought they're going to come out like a house on fire, right?
I did. And
what happened?
I have no idea. Just kind of went downhill after halftime kind of there.
They must have been pumping something into the locker room, right? Those locker rooms are so old, I don't know what might be in those. I don't know. They just didn't reappear, and that's not like the Riders, right? They've usually come out, especially the way they finished that second quarter. You thought Trevor Harris is throwing the football again. He's got a rhythm going. The defense is at least playing a little better. It seemed like because they did get their mojo back, and then just that was the end of them. So The Brett Lawley thing didn't flush some away, Belton. No. I know you like to think it was a bad karma thing, and probably was, but that was so early that they still managed to rebound from it. I think, and we can talk about it in a couple minutes, but that turnaround, the back-to-back interceptions on back-to-back plays, which happened twice. First time was Calgary-Saskatchewan, this time was Saskatchewan-Calgary, and I think that just kind of deflated them. They had that momentum and lost it right away with that pick.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone post-game show. Your thoughts as the Riders lose another one to the Calgary Stampeders, 32-15. But they are 8-2 and still leading the West. Jared, you're up next. What do you think?
Well, I guess that answers that question. And I know we had a bye week and they beat us in the smoke bowl or whatever you guys want to call it. But, boy, I never want to ever hear a conversation about, do you take the bye or not take the bye? You absolutely take the bye. Like I said, I know it didn't work out for us, but that was just a one in a million chance that that doesn't happen. As for Brett Lawther, well, it's got to be great being a Saskatchewan Roughrider fan, because either we're going to have a quarterback controversy, we're going to have an offensive line controversy, we're going to have a kicking controversy. But, I don't know. I saw it on the replay. Plain as day, I looked at my buddy. I'm like, Lawther's going to hit every one of these kicks. He missed the first one. I saw the replay. Plain as day, laces were in. Are we going to perhaps lose our best bat as a kicker? Or maybe not. I don't know if he is. I want to leave this up to Corey Mason, kicking staff. But I guarantee Brett Lawther is not going to throw our placeholder underneath the bus. That one caller from last week was spot on. I'm just glad that, I'm just glad that Corey Mace doesn't listen to us, because when he listens to us and he's right. But when he doesn't listen to us, he's wrong. It's a good position to be in.
I think he must have listened to us. We told him start of the year, run, bring more players on that pass rush. Don't just rely on a 3- and 4-man pass rush. And he didn't. So if he's listened to us, good for him, because he's been throwing 5-man, 6-man pass rushes. Tonight it didn't work. Calgary was ready for it, did a great job. But most of the time, those were our suggestions. So we can say Corey Mason, I don't know. Yeah, they listen. They know what we say on this show. I'm sure of it. Absolutely, they know what we say on this show. But I'm not saying he's putting in the strategy because we tell him to. But obviously that had to be changed.
1-877-332-8255. Yes, Brett Lawther did kick the laces. There's no question he did on that 28-yard miss tonight. If the holder was really a problem, wouldn't you change the holder? Find somebody else on the team, Tommy Stevens, Jake Mayer, somebody who can pin a ball down, and they haven't done it. So
receiver? I don't know.
Used to be Rob Bagg, Weston Dressler. Those guys used to do it.
Receivers used to do it.
Joe Robustelli, somebody.
Andy Santus was pretty good holder, too, right? With those big hands. Yeah. They wrapped right around a football, I think, those hands of his.
You just worried that they might have gotten away of a kick. But anyways, 1-877-332-8255. An update on Trevor Harris and why he was wobbly. Had nothing to do with a head injury, apparently.
Uh-huh.
That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone, a post-game show. We have one line open if you want to get in now, 1-877-332-8255. We will get right back to the fan line, but let's get to the play of the game.
Maybe it made you, it might have made you, or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
Darrell Davis, what do we got for the play of the game on a 32-15 loss to the Calgary Stampeders?
Third quarter, Jamie, that's kind of where everything kind of disappeared on the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and we were just talking about it before the break, that Calgary was ahead, had scored a touchdown, go ahead 21-15, and then Saskatchewan, Jameer Thurman, linebacker, intercepted a pass that was tipped by Malik Kearney. Then remember Mike Rose hit Calgary quarterback Vernon Adams Jr. They got 15 yards taken off. And then the very next play, Onyeka. Which one? No.
Godfrey.
There's so many playing in this game, right? Godfrey Onyeka intercepted, took a pass right away from Dante Myers and turned it right around. And it had happened earlier in the game where Saskatchewan Milligan intercepted a pass right the play after after Calgary had intercepted a pass, and it looked like it might be something that would turn around the Rough Riders. This one turned the Rough Riders. That was the last we ever saw of the Rough Riders when Onyeka took that pass away. And to me, that's the play of the game, Jamie, because it was a big defensive swing and a big momentum swing and obviously a psychological swing for the Calgary Stampeders.
There it is. It could have been a big momentum shift to the Riders. Instead, it went the other way to the Calgary Stampeders.
He wrenched it away from Myers, too, right?
Yeah. It was a little fight, but Godfrey wanted it more. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that one. All righty, let's go right back to the fan line now. David, you are next. What are you thinking on this Saturday night with the Riders lost to the Stamps?
Oh, that was a tough one. They didn't really, for all the hype going into the game that they talked about all week, how they were ready and this and that and how they're going to be more physical and blah, blah, blah. Well, they sure laid an egg if you want to compare it to that. I mean, I think the Stamps tonight proved they're the better football team. It's as simple as that. And if Riders don't do something in the next 8 weeks or so to do something about that, then there'll be no Grey Cup appearance for them. I think, saying that, they're still 8-2. I think that's, I thought I only predicted them to win 10 games when the season started, so they're well above that. But, you know, they're a decent team, they're a good team, but I don't know if they're not as all that a lot of people want them to believe. I think they're a pretty average team, and I think there's three or four teams in the West that you could just flip a coin and that could come out of it. But right now, Calgary's looking the best, but that could change as well. So they aren't done, but they got some work to do, that's for sure. And I don't know who looked worse, them or BC today. I'm not sure. But
the Riders.
Yeah. Riders looked worse?
Yeah, they only had 8 minutes of football.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I don't know. That BC defense is pretty bad.
And I think, I don't know, if the one move that they made in the secondary, if that's going to screw everything up, you know, then that's not great, you know. I think then they brought Brooks on, and he didn't even play, I don't think. I mean,
the special teams.
Do they not have a back? Yeah, well, special teams, but I'm saying he didn't play the corner spot.
You're right.
Do they not have a backup American DB that they're
injured? It's Antoine Brooks Jr. That's who it is.
But obviously they don't trust him to play.
No, because he got burnt against the Calgary Stampeders last time out, David. They did just sign somebody who's on the practice roster. They signed him a couple of days ago, Benny Sapp III. So he came in here. He's in Saskatchewan working out. But it'll be interesting to see that shuffle. But I'm going to disagree with David on this is just like they're an average team. Come on. Yeah.
They're a good team.
They are one of the elite teams in the Canadian Football League. It's just that they took on another elite team in the Canadian Football League. And right now, the Stampeders are clearly better than the Rough Riders when they go head-to-head. There's no question. But the Riders are beating everybody else. There's only two teams they haven't defeated, the Calgary Stampeders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and they haven't played the Bombers yet. That ends this coming week in the Labor Day Classic. Keith dubs it a must-win game. They need to get the momentum because the assumption is you lose Labor Day, well, you're going to lose the Banjo Bowl. Then you're on a three-game losing streak. Yep. And then you got the Montreal Alouettes, who will likely have Davis Alexander back at quarterback. And then it's another bye week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So, again, this is a key stretch of games.
Yep.
And they have three left. They're 2-1 in this middle six. We'll see where it goes. Let's go to Al up next. Al, what are you thinking on Trevor Harris?
On Trevor Harris, okay, I have a couple things. The one thing is people are calling in and they're panicking about the game. I think everybody has a reason to. Isn't it about this time of the year that the Riders seem to learn or figure out that they don't know how to play football anymore, lose 6, 7, 8 in a row?
It's been a trend over the last couple of years.
Well, that's why people are concerned. But, and Lothar, honestly, Lothar's got to go. If you can't hit a field goal from that short, see ya. But the other thing I was calling in about is that hit on Trevor Harris. The guy hit him right directly in the chest with the bridge of his helmet. and then drove him into the ground the same way. I thought that was a penalty.
I thought it was a head contact penalty, too. Yes, I did. Yeah. Remember I asked you guys when we looked it over, I said, isn't that head-to-head? The helmet-to-helmet, it looked like it got him on the kind of on the cheek, right?
Here's the beauty of the gray area of the CFL rulebook, Al. It is the discretion of the official on whether or not the defensive player took the quarterback to the ground in an overly aggressive, unnecessary manner.
Yeah, but helmet-to-helmet doesn't allow that for just... There's no discretion in that.
I don't think that was a helmet to helmet.
It was. Take a look at it.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Okay. He gets his helmet out of the way. There was no helmet to helmet contact. But until they go to the ground, and then you can see the impact, and they kind of land on each other.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that as a spear. I didn't see that as a Micah Alway hit.
I didn't see that as one either. But I think if you really look at that replay, and we'll get a look at it as we go along here, that it hit him in the cheek. His helmet hit Harris in the cheek.
Meanwhile, Trevor Harris says it was cramping. That's why he stumbled and was woozy.
That's a good one.
Or looked woozy, not woozy. Wasn't woozy because it was cramps. That is what happened. So it was interesting timing that he got absolutely drilled to the ground, head bounces off the turf. He gets up and stumbles. That was cramps in his legs. He's been dealing with it. He needs to drink more pickle juice, apparently, is what he said on the post game. You'll hear that coming up.
That's a tough one. Do you believe that one, Belton?
I've had lots of cramps, and I don't think I stumbled or anything, right?
Like, never had two cramp at the same time? Your ankles cramp at the same time?
No. Not both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I don't know if I'd be stumbling if I had a cramp. It'd be more of a like, ouch.
A limp. Yeah. It's more like a limp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, what I saw, it looked like it was somebody got hit by Mike Tyson or something. And, you know, whoa.
That, woozy.
That's how it looked to me.
He went to the table.
He went to the table. Apparently that was to treat the cramps. He went right to the table and laid down on the table.
Yeah, his stomach was down.
Before they even brought the tent over. You saw that on TSN.
Yeah.
I hope that's it, because he's already had one concussion this year.
I hope that's it, too.
1-877-332-8255. But the timing is a bit suspect. Doug, what are you thinking on this Saturday with the Riders' loss?
I'm on.
Yes, you are, Doug. Thanks for your patience.
Well, I was sitting here kind of laughing. I phoned in about twice in my 50 years of listening, and every time you get put on hold, one of the announcers, like you or somebody that knows about football, talks about exactly what I was phoning in about.
We still want to hear what you got to say.
You can pile on, Doug, if you have a point.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing because you're all hepped up about you're going to, and then like Darrell Davis or somebody that knows 1,000 times more about football says exactly.
No, he doesn't know 1,000 times more.
What I was commenting about was the two plays or multiple plays, those two wide out passes, and the little I know about football, that is probably the easiest path to intercept in football history, and I question that play call. And then, which you guys already talked about, unfortunately. But the other one, like at the start of the game, you know, our quarterback threw these touchdown pass, perfect.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson,
drop ball, and I kind of question a little bit of the offensive play calling in that game. Is that okay to suggest that?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Because, I mean, they had our quarterback, I think, is good. Lights out. And our running back, he's like old George Reed. He doesn't give up. And they get one play, one style of play going, and then they switch. But those two plays, those two wide out passes, I thought, oh man, two in a row, two interceptions, and that. But you're sitting on hold, and you're it's kind of funny. But I on the last thing I'll say, I'm a Trevor Harris fan. This guy is accurate passer and a leader, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so too, Doug. Although, did the streak end tonight? It must have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to, he's then, quite yeah. a bit. He's at 60 or 65%.
65%. The streak's over of consecutive games over 70% in the Canadian Football League. It was a record, Daryl, by the way.
That what an amazing record you had. Was it 12? Listed anywhere?
Was it 12?
Yeah, something like that.
I think 12 or 13 it got to for Trevor Harris consecutive. Well, that was going back to last year and this year. 12 consecutive with 70% completion percentage in a game, which was a random stat that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, doesn't mean anything.
1-877-332-8255. We have to take another quick timeout. Thanks for your patience. That line is now open if you want to get in now. And hopefully we haven't stole your thunder like a couple of people might have stolen Doug's here on the Green Zone postgame show. Riders lose again to Calgary, 32-15, and I'm sure Stamp fans let Rider fans know at McMahon Stadium on their way out of the building tonight. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.